in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read verse number 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 21, where the Word of God says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. The Father made the Son sin for us, and he did not know sin, neither one of them do, that we," here's the purpose, that we that are saved, you and I, that you that are here in need of salvation, if you repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, the Lord, save your soul, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Father, help us with your word now. Lord, we're weak and needy, and we need your help. We pray that you'd help me and strengthen with your word. Help each one of us that hear, Father, that we might hear what you say unto us. We'd hear you, believe you, and trust you in it. Lord, for those that are here this morning and not saved, we pray, Father, that you'd grant them repentance and faith, Father. Lord, that they might see Jesus Christ as their only hope. And Lord, that they'd come to you in repentance and faith. Lord, you'd work in them and save them. Help we that are saved, Lord, to live for you. Help us to be a good witness unto them of what you've done for us. And Lord, help us that we all might rejoice in you and your word. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for his sake. And amen. Here in this second book, the second epistle to the church at Corinth, there in Greece, the Apostle Paul is writing, and in the previous chapters here, he's writing in chapter number 3, he says, "You know me, you know who I am, you know the ministry that I've had amongst you. You are," in verse number 2 of chapter 3, "ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. I've had a desire towards you. You know how I've worked and witnessed amongst you. I've given my life to carry the word to you." And he speaks to them in chapter 3 about how it is that the word of God came and how the law came. But if the Lord would go ahead as he has done and work in people with his Spirit, and the ministration of the Spirit, as it speaks about in chapter 3, verse number 8, how that the Lord working with his Spirit would be rather glorious also. God giving his word to a people that were not deserving of a word, not deserving of anything from him, and yet if he would go beyond that and have this spiritual ministry, and that's what the apostle is going to be continue to talk about. And so he goes on here about using plainness of speech in verse number 12 of chapter 3. And in verse number 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. Jesus is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. There's freedom in salvation. There's freedom in the touch of God." And so he goes on to say here in chapter 4, he says, "I've renounced," in verse number 2, "I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully," not looking to trick any man, not looking to deceive anyone, try to trick anybody into salvation or following after the Lord, "but by manifestation, showing forth of the truth in God's word, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." That's very important. We, as the Lord's people and as his church here, Olmsted Baptist Church, we present the Word of God. We talked a little bit about this in my Sunday school class this morning. We present the Word of God. And then it's up to each one of us as individuals to take it up with the Lord. We don't shoehorn anybody into believing anything. And granted that there is in the joining of the church and the salvation and coming for baptism and that there is a submission, there is a covenant and that's there and such. But as far as the Apostle Paul preaching to those at Corinth and preaching to sinners, when we go to the jail, we don't grab a hold of anybody and try to twist them into a profession. We don't try to urge them. We persuade them. We desire to see them saved, but we don't knuckle down on them to try to get them to commit so that we'll be satisfied that sinners have been saved that day. We take it and we put it before the conscience. We put it before the mind, the freedom of the mind, if you will. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. And he says in verse number 3, "But if our gospel," in chapter 4, "if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And that's the way it was with us. If when we didn't get it, we didn't get it. Oh, but thank God through his word, he visited us one day and he opened it up. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, verse 4, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And that's our desire. For you that are here this morning and not saved, we desire that that glorious light would shine unto you. That light of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine unto you. And verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but preach Christ Jesus, and we are his servants. We are servants for Jesus' sake. And he goes on here and he tells about the ministry and how it does cost the flesh. And he goes on down here in verse number 14, and he says in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It's all about God. It's about his resurrection, his life. And he says, by that is which we serve, for which cause we faint not, verse 16, but though our outward man perish, this old flesh, though he dies, though this outward man perish, though this outward man is being used up, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Do you have Jesus Christ inside? Do you have the Spirit of God live with you? Not religion, but a walk with Jesus. For our light affliction, he goes on to say, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, here's the key, folks, and this is where we're heading towards for the message. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. They're going to burn up. They're going to rot. They're going to go away, including this body. Those things are temporal, but the things which are seen are not seen, are eternal. This morning, are we spiritual? Are you and I spiritual? A self-examination for each and every one of us, for me, for you, for each and every one of us here, saved or not saved, are we spiritual? He goes on here in chapter 5, and let's read. He's told about his service. He's told about his care and desire for them, how he has extended himself, used himself up to carry this message of the gospel to those that are there in Corinth. How the Lord working in them and saving them is that epistle. And what did he say there in chapter 3? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. I love you. I've sought your new birth. I desire your salvation and your growth in the Lord. You are this epistle written on my heart. I'm willing to give of myself for the cause of Christ, for the service of Christ, and for your benefit, that you might have salvation, that you might have that good walk with the Lord, that you might be filled with the Spirit of God. And he goes on here in chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this whole flesh is getting used up. This body's getting used up. And if it does, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He says, I'm not looking at what I can see in this life, but I'm looking for that which is spiritual, for that which is heavenly. I look forward to those things, a house not made with hands, made by God, eternal in the heavens. For this, in this we groan, verse 2, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. A house made not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, it can't be canceled. That reservation, that new body, that mansion in glory, it can't be canceled. It's been the reservation's been made by God Almighty through his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, I look toward those things. He says in verse number 4, for we For we that are of in this tabernacle do groan in this old flesh, being burdened. This body hurts. It gets sick. This old mind is distractive. It's distracted. This old body is subject to the world and the sin thereof. He says, we groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, not that I'd be rid of it, but be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life, that dying in this body, oh, that new body, that living with the Lord, says, I'm looking forward to that. My heart and my eyes and my mind are upon that. Now he that hath wrought us, what's that word wrought mean? Worked. He that has worked us, worked in us for the self-same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, Christ in me. The Spirit of God, the earnest money. The earnest money, you go to buy something and you prospectively are going to buy it. Maybe it takes some more money than you got in your pocket and you give them a little bit of earnest money to hold it for you, right? Now, the Lord has given us the earnest of his Spirit. Are we spiritual? Do we have a mind for the temporal, eyes for the temporal, for what we can see? Or do we have an eyes for that heavenly, that tabernacle, that body that the Lord has promised? Even though this body be used up, I've got a body from the Lord that'll be able to live forever and won't be subject to sin in one way. It'd be bulletproof to sin. Are we looking forward to that? Are you looking forward to that? Now he that hath wrought, verse 5, worked in us, worked us for the selfsame thing as God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of his Spirit, that pledge, that part of the purchase money, if you will, the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, because of that, we are always confident. He says, I'm always confident when trial and circumstance and those things that he mentioned in the previous chapter that bring us down. What did he say over there? Take a look in chapter number 4. He says in verse number 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or shown in our body. He says, I want to show the salvation of the Lord in my body to you. I want you to see that for me being spent for the Lord is for your witness and your benefit, for your blessing. He says in chapter 5, verse number 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent with the Lord. What's it say in verse 7? For we walk by faith and not by sight. It says, if I can see him, I'll be in the new body. If I can see him, it won't be by faith anymore. But I can't see him yet. I can see him by faith. I know his promises are sure. I know that he has made this body, this tabernacle, that I groan and desire to be clothed upon. But in the meantime, I'm confident it's so. I'm confident it's coming. And I serve. I serve him. I'm used up of the Lord for your sakes. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I've got written here in my Bible, do I do this? Do we do this? Do we walk by what we can see? Taking and judging and estimating things by the temporal? But what's in the world? Or do we walk by faith, knowing the Lord's promises, knowing that they're steadfast and sure, knowing that if we'll claim those promises, the Lord will help us to get through anything that we face. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we can, through those promises, be a partaker of the divine nature of Christ, knowing what the Lord has promised. He says here, For we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He said, that's my desire. I want to go see Jesus. I don't esteem the things of this world such to hang on to them. It's said by a brother years ago, he said, the Lord gives you things in this world and all that. He says, hang on to them loose. Hang on to them loose. Don't hang on to them with a white knuckle grip. Hang on to them loose. Don't, when the Lord calls, don't be hanging on to things or people, or you're hanging on too tight. You don't want to go with him. He says, oh, I desire to be with the Lord. I want to be absent from this body. I want to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, because of that, we labor, that whether present or absent. Listen, here's the key. We may be accepted of him. We take a look at that word accepted. It means well-pleasing. Whether I'm living in this life, not looking at the temporal, looking at him and desiring him as I serve him, as I walk with him, as I witness, as I live, I want to be pleasing to my Lord. I want to be used up. Used up, the apostle said, for his service. I want to be a witness to those round about me, that they might see in the using up of my life, the using up of my body, that they might see that Jesus is the answer to it all. Jesus is the answer for all the care of life. Jesus is the answer for our sin. Therefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to stand before him and give an account. We're going to give an account as children, whether we've done good or served well or done evil, wickedness or that. Whether we've looked at the temporal and lived life that way, or whether we've looked at the heavenly, the spiritual, and lived it, pursuing and desiring after Christ. We're going to give an account. For those that are not saved, there'll be an account. There'll be an account given, and all that the one that rejects Jesus Christ, showing up there at that great white throne judgment, all that they will have is their sin and what the Word of God says against sinners without Jesus Christ. Don't go there. Don't go there. But we're all going to stand somewhere. He says, I want to be accepted of him. There is this judgment coming. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing therefore this judgment, we persuade men. What is it that we persuade? Well, as it says in Romans about the preacher, that says, how can they hear unless the preacher be sent? How can they hear unless the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, be preached? They cannot hear unless that word is preached. We persuade men. Do we conjure them? As I mentioned, we go to the jail or go to some service like we have like that. We don't try to wrestle anybody into anything. We give them the Word of God. We leave it there between them. We believe in the freedom of the mind that they and the Lord take it up. But I tell you what, when I go and preach to them, when I preach to you, when I preach wherever I go, I try to make the best case for Christ that I can from the Word of God. Therefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, so we persuade men. He says in 1 Corinthians, he says, not foolish preaching, but the perceived foolishness of preaching is that God uses to save sinners. See, it's not foolish preaching. Let's not buy off into that. It's not that preaching is foolish. It's perceived as foolish. And it should not be foolish. And you know me, I like to have a good time and like to enjoy myself and rejoice in the Lord. And sometimes I get it carried away a little bit. But the Word of God is serious. The Word of God is that which is life. And the whole thing about the Word of God is that you and I, we need to hear it. We need to hear it. We need to heed it. We need to believe it. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. As it was there with the Apostle Paul, as he spoke before Agrippa, and Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And he says, the case that you give is good. And what did Paul say? He says, oh, I wish that all of you were like me, except for these chains. I wish all of you were saved. I wish all of you would repent and believe. I wish that you would receive Christ. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he says, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. He says, I want you to know that what I bring to you is real, that it's from God. You know, it's real easy for folks to, it's pretty easy for folks to see through a fake, isn't it? Especially if somebody, has any connection to the Word of God. I know there's a lot of deceivers, and Scripture tells us that there's a lot of false prophets in that, but people know whether a person really cares or not, don't they? It's easy to be seen. And the Apostle Paul says, I want you to see that I am being honest with you. I am not trying to trick you. I'm telling you what God says, and I want you to receive it that way. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your kind. The Lord has sent us. The Lord knows the message that we preach. He's given it to us. I want you. I desire that you know that message. I desire that you see the truth of it. I desire that you see his salvation. Verse 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. As best I understand these two passages, what he's talking about, he says, if you look at me, you probably really don't see much. And in this giving of my life, giving of this body, using up this life to be this witness to you, some might think that I'm crazy. I'm out of my mind. But I do this, and I present myself in this, that as you, their church at Corinth, deal with those that are just looking on the temporal, looking on the physical, that the power of God working in me might be seen, that you know it's for real, that salvation is real, that eternity is real, that being with the Lord forever is real. Or whether we be beside ourselves, that's what it says in verse 13, it is to God, the Lord knows. Or whether we be sober, whether it is that you come down and you really do understand about this terror of the Lord, this judgment that's coming, your need to have your sins paid for. And if you don't, it will be a terrible, terrible thing. He's willing to be expended, and I think that's going to be clarified here even more. For whether we be beside ourselves, verse 13, it is to God, or whether we be sober, we be very plain, very honest, very open, very telling, not flowering it up, not trying to make it better than it really is, but telling you what? The truth, that sinners are in jeopardy without a Savior. They're in jeopardy of hell and the lake of fire and the torment and damnation, justly of God forever and ever. But with Jesus, there's forgiveness. With Jesus, there's life. With Jesus, there is hope. And I want you to see that by the using up, by how the Lord is using me up to be a minister unto you. He goes on here, he says, this is the reason that I give myself. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because that we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He says, I believe what I believe because I've received it of Christ. He says, not my love for my Savior constrains me to do this, but his love for me. He's shown me that it's so. He's shown me that it's true. He's shown me that we are dead in trespasses and sins. And he saved my soul, and I want you to see it, and I want him to save your soul. You see that? Our love For the love of Christ constraineth us. That's what holds me to this. Why would I submit myself, the Apostle Paul? Why would I submit myself to being used up in this way, to have my life sliced off, if you will, and used up this way in the Lord's service if it wasn't so? I am convicted of it. I see that it's so. I'm looking forward to those promises that the Lord has given me. But in the meantime, I want you to see it. I want you to hear it. I want you to believe it. I want you to be touched by God by it. I desire for you to be saved, for you to be touched, for you to be indwelled. The love that Christ has for me, it constrains me to give of myself as the example. Christ gave himself, did he not? Christ gave fully of himself for sinners, for us, for we that he has saved. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which should live, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Corinthians, members there at the church of Corinth, those of you that the Lord has saved, he gave himself for you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're dead to that old way. You're dead to the temporal. You're alive in Christ. Live for him. Live the rest of this life that you have. Live it for him. And that he died for all, verse 15, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. We're not our own anymore. We're not to do what we want to do. We're to do what the Lord wants us to do, what he would be pleased with. Live to themselves, but live unto him which died for them, and not only died and paid the price, but rose again. New life. Wherefore, verse 16, because of that, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What's that talking about? He says, the Lord visited me when I was a sinner, when all that I knew was the working of this world, when all that I knew was what I could see. And in that, the Lord visited me and saved my soul. But now he's given me life. He saved my soul. This world and this life in and of itself, it means nothing to me. It means nothing to me because I'm heading for the Lord. I'm walking the narrow way with him. I have Jesus as my Savior. I've been rescued by him. And nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. He said, the things that are here, he says, we need to use what's there, and we use it as the Lord's given it to us. But all that matters is Jesus. 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 That's all that matters, is walking with my Lord. He says, wherefore henceforth, verse 16, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh when he saved, and how the Lord did come in the flesh to save us, yet now henceforth know we him no more. It's spiritual. Remember the title of the message? Are we spiritual? Are you spiritual? Am I spirit? And when I talk about spiritual, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. Are we spiritual? Do we have this mind that was like in Christ, as the Scripture says us, who didn't worry about himself, but he gave himself? Are we spiritual? That's what the Apostle Paul had come to. He says, this is it. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? Christ in me, my hope of glory. Is Christ in you? Do you have that joy of the Lord in your soul? Brother Jim, I haven't been too happy here lately. Listen, It's probably when I get unhappy, I get my eyes on the things that I can see. What did he say up there at the end of chapter 4? The end of chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the heavenly, the spiritual, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When I get my eyes on what I can see, who I can see, I get them off of the Lord, and I'll get down in the dumps. I'll have a heavy load to carry. I'll try to figure out and work it out myself and try to figure it out my way, my solution, rather than taking it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather than take it to the Lord and say, Lord, work in this thing. Lord, move in this thing. Lord, help in this thing. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man in Christ, a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that the way that we take, and it's out of kindness that we seek to do so? But we say when somebody has died, we say they passed away. We want to make it gentle. But if we change these words, therefore, if any be in Christ, a new creature, old things are dead. Behold, all things are become new. Dead to the world, dead to what we can see, living with Jesus in a real physical world. Yes, we won't go out here and lay out on the ground to sleep tonight. We'll go to our homes and such as that. But is that everything about our life, what we can see? Or is it the heavenly, the eternal, that we've got our focus upon? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, a transaction, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. The Lord has reconciled us by the Lord paying my sin debt. I've been reconciled. My account is set as no balance due because of Jesus Christ. I've been made acceptable. You that are saved, you've been made acceptable in the beloved because of what Christ has paid. The Lord has worked this. He sent the Savior. He chose those that he would save. He's brought the gospel into them and us and will in the future. And he has saved. He's done it. He's done the covenant. He's made that New Testament, as it says there in the Gospels, about when the Lord is instituting the Lord's Supper. He says, this is the New Testament in my blood. When I saw that this past week, it tore me up. This is what I have done for my people. This is what I have done for sinners that receive me, that have repented and believed and I've saved. All things are of God, verse 18, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's how he has made the reconciliation. It's through the Lord, through Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been reconciled, and we are to carry that word of that reconciliation to others. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. You're a sinner like me. And let me tell you what Jesus did for this sinner. He can do the same thing for you. The Lord has reconciled us, and he has given to us this same ministry. That's the reason the Apostle Paul says, he says, I'm willing to be used up because of it. I'm willing to be used up, this body, this flesh, I want to be used up for it, because when it is used up and when I die, I'm going on and I have promises with the Lord. He says, I'm not paying attention to the earthly. I'm not worried about the carnal, the temporal. I'm concerned about the heavenly. This ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, speaking of the grace and mercy and love of the Lord and all those things that he has done for his people in eternity past and over the course of time. The Lord has been working his salvation. The Lord sent the Savior. It was God's idea to make it to where sinners could be saved, and it was his work. He's been doing this, and he has done it and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, and the word of reconciliation. And what is it? It's what God has said. Listen to me. I am the answer. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to the truth, and it'll set you free. What was it that he said over here in chapter 3, verse number 17? Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Are we spiritual? Are you and I, are we spiritual? Here in chapter 5, verse number 20. Now then, we, you and me, you and I, that the Lord has saved here in his church, we are ambassadors, representatives of Christ, as though God did beseech or beg you by us. We pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to be reconciled to God. And the only way you can be reconciled to him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And all that you may pursue and all that you may desire and all that you may think will be a good thing in this life, on this world, on this earth, and on this dirt ball, I'm telling you, it's only going to last about that long. It's only going to add. You ask these older ones that are now up in their 70s, and you go down and visit Brother Mitchell, and you ask him about how long, he's 90-some years old. You ask him how long it's taken him to get there, and he'll say it's happened like that. And it's going to go away. Because those things that you can see are temporary. They're temporary. And we, as the ambassadors of the Lord, of Christ, are the word of God to you, be reconciled to God. Child of God, haven't been claiming the Lord's promises, been fretting about living in life and trying to work it out your own way, trying to go back to the weak and beggarly elements, as the Scripture talks about, and go back to that old life, the way that you lived before the Lord saved you. Be reconciled to God. Get your eyes off of the temporal. Get your eyes off of that which is going to burn up one day. Use it well for the service of the Lord. But build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Build with that. Be reconciled to God. Come back to him. Does his love for you constrain you? Not your love for him, but does the Lord's love for me constrain me to obey him? How is it? It was told the Lord, it said, one was forgiven 50 and another was forgiven 500, I think it was. Talking to one of the Pharisees, and then talking about a harlot. She cried and she tended to the Lord, I think washed his feet with the tears of her eyes and with the hairs of her head. And the Lord told him, he said, the one that thinks that he's been forgiven little, oh, love little. But the one that thinks and knows and is settled that they've been forgiven much will love much. And the point is, folks, if we've been forgiven one sin, we've been forgiven much. One sin, we've been forgiven much. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. our text verse, because he hath made him to be sin for us. The Father made the Son to be sin for me. And he didn't know any sin. But it was done so that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Are you here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior? If that's the case, you're not spiritual. But as the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need to repent. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That all that look at him, he would save. Child of God, we've been saved from our sins. Our sins have been put on Jesus Christ. And also we've also been saved from our eyes too, haven't we? Yeah. All our sins have been taken away by the Lord. May the Lord help us. Are we spiritual?